VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on the VCY American Network. Ladies and gentlemen, in Scripture, we see prophesied the coming together of a one-world religion, a one-world government, and a one-world monetary system. And that's why it's so remarkable today to see the pathway being paved before our very eyes in a way that's desensitizing individuals all over the planet. So it will one day be natural for them to be in full acceptance of this. Our topic today is a case in point. May 2nd, 2019, there was a meeting of the Pontifical Academy of Social Studies. Pope Francis advocated for steps toward a global authority that supersedes the rights of individual countries, all with the goal of pursuing what he calls the common good on issues like climate change, immigration, many other issues as well. We're here to discuss the matter with us. We welcome back Mike Gendron, who is founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Mike was a devout Roman Catholic for over three decades. He was taught to rely upon the authority of the church. That authority was above everything else. Well, Mike searched the scriptures, and he was amazed to find that what he read in the Bible contradicted the very teachings and traditions of the church that had been a part of his life for so long. Mike trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. He now has ruled the Bible as his sole authority in all matters of faith and is serving the Lord and reaching Roman Catholics with the gospel message. Mike, good to have you back with us on Crosstalk.
Well, Jim, thanks for having me. It's really good to be back with you, especially on such an important topic as we're going to be discussing today.
And Mike, your reaction when we were exchanging emails on this, just called to the exciting times in which we live. I mean, this is really fascinating to see this right before our very eyes.
Well, it really is. It's a precursor to what Bible prophecy says will happen in the end times, when all the nations of the world will give up their sovereign control to a world ruler who we know is the Antichrist. And so for the Pope to be asking these, not even asking, but demanding the nations of the world give up their sovereignty to a global authority is truly fascinating.
What do we know about this Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences? I've seen he's also had a Pontifical Academy of Life, and I guess there's others as well. Is this some classes are held at the Vatican, or what is this?
It's just a different group of people that the Pope usually addresses. And we have to recognize this Pope is an outsider. He was not really part of the Holy See. And he is a Jesuit Pope, and we know the agenda of the Jesuits is to create a kingdom for the papacy. And so this is very intriguing when we see the first Jesuit Pope enacting many of the things that he's doing. This speech on May 8th, he demanded that a new supranational legal constituted body enforce climate change policies and other worldwide threats such as immigration. And what he's advocating, Jim, is a policy of decreased national sovereignty along with increased global unity. And he claims that all the world's problems are being exacerbated by an excessive demand for sovereignty on the part of states.
You know, as I read through his address, he really wasted no time in getting to his point. It was within the, I think, the third sentence, but he calls his topic one of permanent relevance, and by his third sentence speaks against some nation states that he says that implement their relations in a spirit of opposition rather than cooperation. And in that opening paragraph, he speaks of many tensions coming from an excessive claim of sovereignty on the part of states. And as you go through this entire document, Mike, it appears, and beyond that, I mean, he is really trying to break down national sovereignty issues.
Well, he really is, but I also think he was very wise. In fact, probably as wise as a serpent when he did not call for the outright abolition of nation states. Instead, he's insisting that they all be subjected to an external global governing authority. So this is just the first step. I think ultimately once he establishes a global authority, we know in the end what's going to happen. The nations of the world will turn their power over to the Antichrist.
Yeah, and indeed he also spoke against that which jeopardizes a consolidated forms of international cooperation, undermines the aims of international organizations as a space for dialogue, even spoke about the sustainable development goals approved by the United Nations.
Well, you're so right, and I found it fascinating, as I know that you did too, all the times he mentioned common good.
Yes.
So I thought what I might do, Jim, is I looked up common good as it's defined by the Roman Catholic Church. And according to the Catholic Church, the common good is the complete development of all the people of the world. In fact, it was Pope John the 23rd who described it as the sum total of conditions whereby persons are enabled more fully to achieve their own perfection. So this sounds like something that is good for the world, that we all need to come together and give up our sovereignty for the common good of people. But when you look deeper into it, he's really dealing with a socialistic type mind frame.
He really is. And that's the other aspect that I notice as I go through his statement, is that he really seems to attack the monetary systems of the world, calling the economic model as being profit-oriented, short-sighted, based on the misconception of unlimited economic growth. And he says that results in a disastrous impact on the natural world. And I came away from this, Mike, really seeing his outright attacks on capitalism and promoting socialism.
Yeah, according to Pope Francis, the only hope for planetary peace and progress is to make room for international organizations to develop the governing bodies, supplanting the state interest. He said that if we hope to save the planet, we must accept that we are one people and unite to create a space for dialogue and meeting for all countries in a spirit of mutual respect. So yes, this really looks like socialism, but it's not a surprise because he also dealt with immigration, didn't he?
Mike, it is all throughout this document, a very lengthy piece on immigration, and here's what he said. The Church observes with concern the reemergence almost everywhere in the world of aggressive currents toward foreigners, especially immigrants, as well as that growing nationalism that neglects, here we go again, the common good. And he spent other paragraphs just talking about immigration. And I thought, Mike, I wonder, the Vatican is a sovereign nation, so to speak, nation state. Is there any fencing or barriers around the Vatican itself?
Well, that's a good point, Jim. Yes, you know, the Pope is also calling that all the nations of the world, in fact, he derided the nations of the world, that have border walls. And everybody that's been to the Vatican knows that there is a wall surrounding Vatican City. So I think what the Pope needs to do is to tear down his wall first, and then he can deride other nations that have their own border walls. But he seems to be talking out of both sides of his mouth, and it's really interesting, too, because when he deals with immigration, he actually said that the migrant is not a threat to the culture, customs, and values of the receiving nation. Well, Jim, if that's true, then why doesn't the Pope invite migrants into the Vatican City? Mm-hmm. It is a sovereign nation. But again, he's just warning other nations to do this, unwilling to do it himself.
And let's look at religious history in the past, Mike. What about the likes of a John Wycliffe, a Martin Luther, a John Huss, a William Tyndale? The history of the religion he represents didn't really have open arms for those individuals.
Not at all. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church has a brutal history of putting to death anyone in opposition to the papacy. And I just wish that people that listen to your program today would be students of history of the Church and just see just how wicked of an organization this is. And no longer are they putting people to death, but they have a new strategy for world dominion, and that's to seduce people. And unfortunately, we have many evangelical leaders that are buying into the seduction. And it's really frightening to see that the people that are supposed to be standing for the truth are the first ones to compromise with the Pope.
Who does he see as being the global authority? I mean, talking about nations coming together, is just a big promotion for the UN or some other entity?
Well, he definitely referred to the United Nations periodically through his statement, but it implies that he doesn't think the United Nations is strong enough, that it doesn't carry enough clout, that there actually needs to be another organization above the United Nations that's dictating the policies. And so I think that's where his agenda is moving toward. You know, he's been very successful in pushing forward his global religion, and we know that's also prophetic that in the end there will be a one-world religion that will worship together the man who claims to be the Christ, and that will be the Antichrist. And now he's using his global influence to establish a one-world government. So when we look at Bible prophecy, by the way, Jim, today is Israel's 71st birthday.
Yes.
To be reestablished as a sovereign nation. So when we look at Bible prophecy, it was 71 years ago today that the prophetic time clock began ticking again with Israel back in the land. So all these things we're discussing today really have a lot to do with what prophecy has revealed to us in God's holy word, the scriptures.
Well, why is a doing away of national sovereignty so important? I mean, why is a pope coming forward with statements like this?
Well, the only way to have a united global government is to have the nations of the world relinquish their sovereignty and their power. And we know from Bible prophecy that in the end, in fact, we know in Daniel chapter 7, verses 20 to 24, Daniel prophesies a revived Roman Empire. He says the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, and it will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. So a global government is when the kings of the earth will hand over their power and authority to the beast. And so what we see Pope Francis doing appears to be what the Antichrist will insist that the nations do, and that is turn their sovereignty over to him to give all of their power and sovereignty to a global authority that will ultimately be ruled by Antichrist.
And what's interesting, Mike, is that people and nations all over the world revere the Pope.
Well, he has great influence throughout the nations, and that's because of his religion. He's got 1.4 billion followers in countries throughout the world. And so this is a major influence in all the governments. Again, if you look at church history, you will see how the popes of the past were responsible in raising up nations and kings and taking down nations and kings. And it had superpower back in the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, and it's relinquished some of that power. But once again, I think this Jesuit pope is trying to reestablish the power of the papacy.
Mike Gendron is our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're going to take a quick break, and certainly we're talking about Pope Francis advocating for globalism. And friends, also, we have seen just recently his reaching out with Happy Ramadan greetings to, quote, Muslim brothers and sisters. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk coming your way on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when the Ice Age happened, was the Earth just covered in snow, like one big snowball?
Not at all, Chris, but there is a lot of evidence that the ice sheets which started up in Canada did come down into the U.S., but they didn't cover the entire globe at all. Actually, the Ice Age wasn't a time of bitter cold either. The summers were probably colder, such that the ice and snow which fell during the winter did not melt. But the winters were probably warmer on average than today. Today, if it gets really cold, it doesn't snow much because the cold air can't hold much moisture. The warmer the air, the more the moisture, the more the snow. And that's what's needed for an Ice Age. Just such a combination of factors would have happened right after the flood, essentially caused by the flood. By the way, that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
For more on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
Mike Gendron is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is the founder and evangelist with Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Incidentally, Mike is going to be joining VCY for a summer week of ministry. Randy Melcher will be leading that on behalf of VCY. But Mike, you're going to be speaking on the coming One World Religion the week of July 22nd through the 28th, starting off in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, then going to Rochester, Minnesota, then to Duluth area, Crystal Falls, Michigan, and the UP, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and then out east, Lord willing, to Zanesville, Ohio, and Bridgeport, West Virginia, and a great opportunity for people to come out, hear you in person, but also hear a stirring message on this coming One World Religion.
Well, Jim, it's really a privilege and an honor for me to be part of the VCY Road Rally, and I am looking forward to meeting a lot of the VCY listeners at the different churches throughout that week.
Friends, you can obtain more information at vcyamerica.org regarding that schedule, vcyamerica.org. I find it interesting, Mike, as the Pope Francis has made this address at the Pontifical Academy of Social Studies, and we see the big push toward globalism, a global authority, and really attacking national sovereignty in that regard, saying, states, you need surrender to this global authority. And then also at the same time, we have from the Vatican the wishing of a happy Ramadan to, quote, Muslim brothers and sisters.
Well, that's part of the Pope's building bridges into all the religions of the world. In fact, many of your listeners have probably heard me say before, paragraph 841 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church dares to say that the Muslims are part of God's plan of salvation. So the Catholic Church embraces Islam as part of God's plan of salvation. And it's really troubling for born-again Christians to hear that, because we are condemned over 100 times by the Roman Catholic religion, because we believe in the sufficiency and the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. But Muslims deny that Jesus went to the cross, and they deny that Jesus is God, and yet they are said to be part of this plan of salvation that the Roman Catholic Church has. And so it is very troubling, but Jim, a lot of people are not aware of just how powerful the papacy is, and many are not even aware that the Pope is not only a spiritual leader, but he's actually head of state, because Vatican City is a sovereign nation, and the Pope rules over the Vatican City. He can negotiate with other nations, and he can enact laws with the same kind of power as prime ministers, presidents, and other nation leaders. And again, if you look at church history, you can see for centuries the Vatican has been a major influence in all of European political affairs. Its history is filled with political intrigue. We see the rise and fall of government leaders and national powers, and presidents, prime ministers, and royalty from all over the world have been coming to the Vatican to seek an audience with the Pope, to seek his counsel and discuss matters of great political, economic, and social importance. So this is a very powerful office. And we have to understand that the man is not that powerful. It is the office of the papacy that demands the power that Pope Francis is now executing.
So you're talking not just a religious leader, but very much a political leader as well.
That's correct. And, you know, it's interesting because the Pope has a lot of critics as well. And one in particular, his name is Avril Manhattan. He's a critic not only of Pope Francis, but also of the Holy See. And he said papal diplomacy is so influential, and it can exert great power in the diplomatic political field, because it has as its disposal the tremendous machinery of a spiritual organization with ramifications in every country of the planet. So that's where it gets all of its political power, because of its spiritual kingdom throughout the world.
Mike, you were tied up for over three decades in the Roman Catholic Church. You are witness to what you were taught there. Compared to the teachings of Scripture itself, you have seen many who have been entrapped by the traditions that are included with this. Tell us your heart's concern regarding those who are following the Pope rather than following the Scriptures.
Well, the Pope has blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ by stealing the title head of the church. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who went to Calvary's cross to die for his church, and how dare this Pope claim to be the head of the church, and he's also referred to as Holy Father. And this is blasphemy because there is only one Holy Father, and Jesus prayed to him in the high priestly prayer. And my concern for Roman Catholics is that they have been indoctrinated from the time they can think that the Roman Catholic Church is the one true church, and they're unwilling to investigate their faith to find out if it's biblical saving faith. And so ultimately they're trusting their religion to get them to heaven. They're putting their trust in a priesthood that is said to dispense salvation piecemeal through the sacraments. And Catholics are very unapproachable because they believe that the Catholic Church is the institution that gave the world the Bible, but they don't realize that the Bible came directly from God. It's this inspired, infallible, and authoritative word, and that's where we need to test every man's teaching, because the Word of God will expose the lies of the devil and also any false teachers. So it's my heart's desire that Roman Catholics would not continue in their stupor or being indoctrinated without investigating the claims of their church and see if it lines up with the Holy Word of God. Because ultimately, unless they believe the Word of God, then they're going to leave themselves open to deception.
Mike, do you just have some vendetta against the Roman Catholic Church? I mean, 30-some years there, and this is maybe just like your way of getting even?
Well, Jim, I'm glad you asked the question. It's important that we distinguish between the Roman Catholic Church and the people that are being deceived by the institution. The Bible tells us that we are to hate every false way. I hate the Roman Catholic religion because it's deceiving people about life's most critical issue. But I've given my life to Roman Catholics because I love them. I have compassion for them. They are where I was for most of my life, believing that I belong to the one true church but destined for hell. And only until they open the Bible and begin to read it will they realize they're deceived. That was the testimony that of my conversion. I opened the Bible for the first time at age 35, and I began reading it, and I had a crisis of faith that came down to, am I going to believe Christ and his word or the teachings and traditions of my religion? I knew that I could not believe both. It was impossible because the teachings are diametrically opposed. So it's my prayer that Roman Catholics will open the Bible and they will believe God's word, and they will repent of every false way that they've been indoctrinated with.
So when you see this statement that was made by the Pope in early May, the address of the Holy Father, that's what it says, of the Holy Father Francis to the participants in the plenary of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences, Mike, what bothers you the most about this statement and this address that was made?
It's that people are biblically ignorant. They're not connecting the dots. If they only would read Bible prophecy and study Bible prophecy, they would see that the Pope is a pawn of the devil. It is the devil who is the prince of this world. And we see that he is working in the sons of disobedience right now from Ephesians 2:2. And so we need to encourage everyone, not just Roman Catholics, but even evangelicals who are not into the Word of God. They're going to be easily deceived by this global government and this global religion because, as we've talked in the past, many evangelicals are signing unity accords with the Catholic Church. So we need to be in the Bible, and we need to abide in God's Word. That's the only way we're going to know the truth. And when we know the truth will set us free from any type of religious deception.
Mike Gendron with us here today on Crosstalk, and Mike, I know that we talked about even the Vatican and what it's done here toward one world religion, as well as the one world governance. We have seen his reaching out to Islam. And we know this is one of the reasons why President Donald Trump has been despised by the world is because of his push toward sovereignty, putting the interests of the United States first. But even with that being said, and there's many things I've appreciated about President Donald Trump and his stand for life and so forth. But last evening, President Trump himself celebrated Ramadan with a White House iftar dinner and welcoming ambassadors and diplomats from Muslim-majority nations to the White House for this dinner. And we see a convergence taking place there as well, Mike.
Yes, we really do. And it shouldn't surprise us because this is what the Bible tells us will happen. There will be a convergence. And, you know, we talked on a previous radio show about the convergence of Islam and Roman Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing not only politically but also spiritually. And both Islam and Roman Catholicism do worship the same God. It's the prince of this world. And so we need to warn people, again, the only way to know if you're deceived is to be confronted with the truth, and the truth is found in God's word.
In just a few moments, we're going to be opening phone lines and taking your calls, listeners. But, Mike, I know that you have put together a package of resources to be of help to our listeners in which you expound further on these very issues. And one of them is a DVD that you're promoting through the program today.
Yes, the DVD message, and actually there's two messages on the DVD, but the one of most important for the message that we're talking about today is Prophecy and the Pope. And this new pope is now in his sixth year in the pontificate, and many are wondering how his strategy will develop into a global religion and a global government. And so I cover a lot of what we've been talking about on the air this afternoon, and it's an excellent DVD, not only for people to know more about Bible prophecy, but also the prophecy that the Roman Catholic Church espouses. They have their own prophecy, and they actually believe that there will be two people that will usher in a period of peace and prosperity, and that will be the Pope along with a Catholic monarch. Little did they know that they're part of Bible prophecy, because we know that there will be a false prophet and an antichrist that will usher in this period of peace. So that DVD is available. The second message is Prophecy Surrounding the Rapture, and we're making it available to all the VCY listeners today at a 20% discount. And they can go to our website, proclaimingthegospel.org, and order it there, or they can call us after the show at 817-379-5300. And along with the DVD, we're going to give a free publication entitled Rome Versus the Bible. And I talk about 13 different ways that the Roman Catholic religion stands opposed to the Bible as the Word of God.
Wow. Again, folks, that is Prophecy and the Pope. It's a DVD. You can go to proclaimingthegospel.org, proclaimingthegospel.org, click on their store and then video messages, and you'll find it listed right there, Prophecy and the Pope, and also the second message, Prophecy Surrounding the Rapture. And you may get it there through proclaimingthegospel.org or calling after the program at 817-379-5300. They're also sending the pamphlet Rome Versus the Bible to those who would request that today, those who would get the DVD. We're going to take a quick break. And listening friends, if you would like to speak with Mike today, our phone number to Crosstalk is now open at 800-733-9829. Your questions on this very issue, one world government, one world religion, certainly the globalism that's being promoted by Pope Francis here at this time. Our number here, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
We are concerned for our nation. The pathway on which we're headed is one destined for destruction. Collectively, our nation celebrates what God calls an abomination. Children are killed daily by abortion. Secularism is on the increase. The Bible and Christianity under attack. That which is evil is declared good, and that which is good is declared evil. In the book, The Coming Destruction of America, Pastor Neil Jackson undertakes a biblical examination of the judgments of God upon a land. You'll see what happens to a nation that rejects God's ways, rejects God's words, and rejects God's warning. It's a book that calls America to repentance to avoid the judgment of God upon our beloved land. This hardcover book, The Coming Destruction of America, is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY. Obtain your copy by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron is our guest today. He is the founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry, and his website, proclaimingthegospel.org, proclaimingthegospel.org. And again, you can obtain that DVD through him, Prophecy in the Pope, and Prophecies Surrounding the Rapture, both in the same DVD. It's available through his website, and just click on Store and then Video Messages. You'll find it there. And those who do obtain the DVD from them for this limited time will also get that pamphlet, Rome versus the Bible, 13 clear contrasts between God's Word and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Well, today we're taking your phone calls on Crosstalk, and I should just mention just a special word to our Crosstalk affiliate stations that in that we are involved in a physical location change for our satellite uplink. There is a little bit of delay today and tomorrow and a couple days next week, and Lord willing, all will be converted over at that point, and so your prayers are appreciated through that process. Let's go to East Troy, Wisconsin, and we have William online. William, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, Brother Mike, thank you so much for your ministries. And Brother Mike, I can't thank the Lord enough for all you've done and helped me as a former Catholic. I wanted to ask you if you could tie together Mary, Islam, prayer beads, and the rosary, and how that all ties in with this current Pope and his recent meeting with one of the imams recently.
Well, that's probably an hour or two alone, William, but Mike...
Good question, William, yes. And I'll just be real brief. I really believe that there are two people in Bible prophecy that will usher in the global religion and the global government. And there's also another person, and that's the apparitions of Mary, because Satan will use lying signs and wonders to deceive the world. And Roman Catholics look to Mary, so do Muslims look to Mary, as the most esteemed woman who has ever lived. And so I really believe that through the apparitions of Mary that she will bring convergence between Islam and Catholicism. And ultimately, she's coming for all of her children. That is another Mary, an apparition of Mary. So just look for more and more apparitions to occur, and I think that will be one of the catalysts to bring about this global religion.
Hmm. Thank you, William.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Deb is next. Hi, Deb, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to ask him, the Catholics aren't the only one who aren't aware of what's biblically correct. The Pope, the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church has also deceived other denominations as to the true status. What does he have to say on that? Because the true Sabbath is Saturday, the seventh day, which was instituted in the creation week, and it never changed.
Hmm. Okay. Mike, your thoughts there?
Well, that's another subject for another day, mm-hmm. but let it be known that Christians are to worship the Lord every day of the week. And it was the early church that met on the first day of the week, which was a Sunday, and so that's why Christian churches meet on Sunday rather than on the Sabbath.
Yeah, certainly to honor the resurrection and to rejoice and celebrate the resurrection that happened on the first day. And you see the apostles throughout Acts speaking on the first day of the week, and the collection of gifts was made on the first day of the week. Thanks, Deb. Gwen in Greendale, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. First of all, I have a few points I want to make. Most of us Catholics do not like this Pope at all. We have had his number since he took over the chair of Peter. We do not like him. We know he is a false Pope. And nevertheless, this has been prophesied through our church. We've had good popes and we've had bad popes. That doesn't mean that the Church of Jesus Christ, which is his Catholic Church, is false. What you are doing, demonizing Christians, is very unprofessional on your part. And God help you for doing this.
Okay, Gwen, let me respond to what you've had to charge here against him. Mike?
Yeah, Gwen, if you heard me earlier, you heard me say that I love Roman Catholics. I've dedicated my entire life to reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you may have had good popes in the past, but they've all taught a false and fatal gospel that sends people to hell rather than heaven. There is only one gospel, and Paul said that if you add anything to it, you are anathema, you are condemned. And so the Roman Catholic hierarchy is under the anathema of Galatians 1:6-9, because they have added extra requirements to be saved. Rather than being saved by grace, the Catholic Church says you must receive sacraments, you must do good works, you must obey the law, you must attend the weekly sacrifice of the Mass. These are all extra burdens placed on Roman Catholics, and so they are under a false gospel, and those who teach it are under the anathema of Galatians 1.
Gwen, would you like to respond? Hello, Gwen. Oh, Gwen just hung up, okay. Don is next, Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. When I went to Bible college, I was taught that the King James Bible is on the list of forbidden books by Rome.
Is that the case, Mike?
Well, it wasn't just the King James Bible. Any Bible was on the list of forbidden books, and that was at the Council of Trent. You see, what happened at the Council of Trent, which was the post-Reformation, the Counter-Reformation, they recognized that the truth of God's Word was setting people free from religious deception of the Catholic Church, and so they banned the Bible. They put it on the list of forbidden books. And so any Catholic that had a Bible in their possession could not be forgiven of their sins until they returned it to the Church. Since then, of course, Catholics are now allowed to read the Bible, and praise God, as they read it, the truth is setting them free.
Great. Thank you, Don. Ron is next, Crystal Falls, Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah. My name is Ron. Be looking forward to seeing you at my church when you get here to Crystal Falls. My statement is, I'm a former Catholic, too. I used to be an altar boy when I was a child, and I remember even back then wondering why we were praying to Mary and Joseph and all this, and then they come about and change the Ten Commandments to eliminate praying to false idols.
Yeah, they've been altering the Word of God throughout history. And initially in the Latin Vulgate, the Jerome Latin Vulgate, they had a woman crushing the head of the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, but they have since changed that back to a masculine pronoun. The Pope recently also changed the Lord's Prayer, and so we've seen the Catholic Church add books to the Bible and also take the commandment away. So there's a curse placed on anyone who would alter the Word of God, and another reason for Roman Catholics to come out and not participate in the sins of the Catholic Church any longer.
All right, thank you, and I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you,
likewise.
Ron. Jeff in Lancaster, Ohio, you're on the air.
Jim, thank you for the program, and Mike, thank you so much for your ministry. I go to your website, Proclaiming the Gospel, regularly to get a clear understanding of what Roman Catholics believe and how what they believe contradicts Scripture. And I use it some when I witness to Roman Catholics, but I found that I use it more often when I talk with Christians who don't understand what the Roman Catholic Church teaches and espouses, and people who think it's a viable religion or just another belief system. So I want to thank you for your ministry and your website and all the material that's there. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And the reason there's so much confusion among evangelicals today is because they don't know if the Catholic Church represents a huge mission field that needs to be evangelized, or if there are brothers and sisters in Christ already. And the confusion comes because our evangelical leaders that have great influence, they are signing unity accords with Catholics, stating that we share a common faith in the gospel, and that is the furthest thing from the truth. And so we really do need to educate evangelicals about the errors of Roman Catholicism so that they will be more inclined to witness to Roman Catholics.
Oh, amen.
Thank you, Jeff. And by the way, we're still looking to finalize a church meeting place for Mike this summer in the Zanesville or Lancaster, Ohio area. And if you know of such a place, contact our main switchboard and we'll get it passed on to the organizer here.
I'd love to do that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Mark in Pasco, Washington, you're on the air.
Jim, I enjoy listening to your program. Thank you very much. And Mike, I enjoy listening to what you're having to say as a former Catholic. I just want to share that there is a book out there. It's an older book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Shinnegai. Speaks a lot about your purgatory, speaks a lot about your way for God, speaks a lot about the lies of Catholicism that's going on. And, Mike, like how you said, how a lot of people are being led astray. Just wanted to share with you that, and the listeners, thank you very much, and have a God-blessed day.
Mm. Yeah, Mark, that's an excellent book, and I highly recommend it. I also recommend the book that I've written called Preparing for Eternity, and you can get that through Crosstalk and VCY.
Preparing for Eternity?
Preparing for Eternity, right. And it's the details, you can call our switchboard at 800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829, and Laura can give you the details there.
You got it.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you very much, and have a God blessed day.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now. Kevin in South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen, or good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you, Jim and Mike, for your ministries and just your witness and your walk. I guess a quick comment, Mike. I really appreciate your message today. Been born again at 40 years old, so I was a miracle baby in myself, but in witnessing to Catholic friends, which some are born-again believers, but they're just that indoctrination is so strong. And I guess something I'm really learning about here, and as I study God's Word, the spiritual blindness of the deception, as you said, Mike, and then with that word along with the spiritual blindness of believers and unbelievers that Satan is so good at bringing into this world, and we're so great at accommodating it and opening the door. Seem like as we look in the end times here, that's something that's really speaking to me, that I approach people in a different way when I think about the word spiritual blindness and the effects of that. And as that lady shared, it called in on the Catholic faith, any doctrine or any gospel that you have to become righteous instead of declared righteous is a false doctrine.
Hmm. Yes, as we witness to people, we have to be aware that the prince of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ. So there is a supernatural blindness. Paul tells us how that blindness can be removed in the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, when you turn to Christ, the veil of blindness will be removed. So as long as people are listening to false prophets and popes and bishops and cardinals, they're going to remain spiritually blind. They must turn to Christ and his word for the veil of blindness to be lifted and removed.
Thank you so much for the call here.
It seems like when you bring religion into it, it just doubles up, almost being brainwashed. It doubles up trying to get a person to come to that conclusion, but the giving of his life, that just being blind to that is just that much harder to overcome. It's almost like being lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold, and henceforth it's harder to see the truth with the light brought in.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep, thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate the call. Wow, we're just seconds from the break, so we're going to take the break, and then we'll come back to more of your phone calls. So stay on the line, callers. Mike Gendron is with us here today, and again, his special offer for that two messages on a DVD, A Prophecy and the Pope, and also Prophecy Surrounding the Rapture. It's available through his website, proclaimingthegospel.org. Click on Store and then Video Messages. You'll find it there. He's reduced to 20%, and if you get it from him for a limited time, he's also giving the pamphlet on the Rome versus the Bible. So that's all available. We'll be giving his phone number as well here in the final segment. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Recently, we held our conference, Holocaust Horizon. Did you know, indeed, there is a Holocaust underway, particularly against Christians, conservatives, and Jews? In the 20th century, communism murdered 65 million Chinese people. 20 million were murdered in the Soviet Union. 3.5 million were murdered in North Korea and Afghanistan by the communists. Did you know that the jihadis have killed 120 million just in Africa alone, according to renowned missionary David Livingston and others? How about Christians killed by jihad? 60 million Christians. Hindus? 80 million. My friends, when you put all these figures together, that's 270 million killed by jihad. And we're well over 100 million killed by communism. And my friends, communism is still marching across the globe. This time, however, communism has now found a partner, and Islam, the red-green axis.
Mike Gendron is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and yes, Pope Francis advocating for globalism, and we referred to his address that he gave in early May at the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences. Very interesting indeed, pushing for globalism, crushing a blow at national sovereignty, pushing socialism over capitalism, and it's quite involved. If you missed the program early on with our discussion, within just a couple hours, it will be on our website at crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com. Anne is calling next from Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air, Anne.
Hi, I appreciate the program so much because any church I know is going even into these subjects. Quick question. Do you know or have you heard of the St. Malachi saying the 112th pope would be the last pope?
Sure, I have heard of that, but you know what? Only God knows the future, and so it was maybe a projected guess on the part of St. Malachi, but God's the one that controls the future, and he's the only one that knows.
No, I agree with that, but it also, I'm just trying to shine a light on information that is signs that are not quirky or out there, but signs that have been really proved through the ages, and it is a sign, and we are to look at the signs, not look at the time, but I think it's imperative that Christians start to see that there's work to do as we occupy now, and that we need to suit up because things are moving very rapidly.
Okay. Thank you, Anne. Mike?
Yes, Anne. In fact, in Romans 11:25, we see when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, then the church will be raptured. So you're right. Christians need to go out and get that last Gentile so we can all go home and be with the Lord.
Thank you, Anne, for the call. David is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air, David.
Thank you for taking my call. Jim and Mike, thank you for all the great work in this. I was raised a Roman Catholic, went to Marquette University, got solemnly saved, converted, born again, became a child of God through a lot of stuff on VCY, Charles Stanley, and so I'm just saying my heart goes out for all the Catholics. I saw my parents get led to Christ and truly got born again, saved in their 80s. My dad read the Bible more than me every day and read Corrie ten Boom. And for the other lady that called, Jesus says, call no man your father because you have one. When you become a child of God, God Almighty, Father God, becomes our father. And Jesus says, call no man your father. In Italian, Pope means Papa. I love you. Thank you very much.
Right. In fact, the Pope, in many of his bizarre statements that go against the Bible, he has said that all people are children of God. He doesn't realize that there are two spiritual fathers that the Lord Jesus spoke of. One is the devil, and he rebuked the religious leaders in John chapter 8 because they were children of the devil. And until you come to faith in Jesus Christ, that is your spiritual father. But praise the Lord that he is the father of all believers, the Holy Father in heaven.
We have Phil calling in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Phil, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon to both of you. And blessed is this program because it is an enlightenment to all those that do not know. We see this happening now with the Pope going to be the imam in the Middle East, that they were actually very, very close friends now, and they are working together. We see that they are still praying to Mary and the other people that they uphold. They call them saints. We are saints, so whoever believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the blood of his sacrifice that pays for our sins, we can do nothing to inherit it by our own self, which is unquote from Martin Luther himself. He's seen it where he could not pay penance enough, and we've seen that they were killing the loved ones, our loved ones, back in Europe.
Thank you, Phil. We're almost out of time. Mike, a comment toward Phil here.
Yes, just amen and amen. It's true that Muslims are now going to apparition sites to get messages from Mary, and so they esteem her as the most revered woman who has ever lived. Once again, I think that is one of the catalysts for bringing about the global religion, the apparitions of Mary, lying signs and wonders from the devil.
Phil, thank you for your time here today and calling in. And by the way, listeners, or those of you who would like to reference that program, Mike did a full program answering the question, is there a common bond between Islam and Catholicism? Virtually a year to the day, Mike, it was May 16th, 2018, that you addressed that issue here on Crosstalk, and a very enlightening program on that topic going into great detail. In closing, Mike, I'd just like to know what you would have to say to the person who's listening right now, who's angry in spirit, saying, this man that you have on Crosstalk today is just plain wrong. He's misrepresenting the true Catholic Church. Address that issue, Mike.
Well, the Bible says there is only one gospel, a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and very few find it. And the reason very few find it is because many Christians are not pointing people to the narrow gate, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can come to the Father except through Him. I would encourage everyone who's listening to the program to test every man's teaching with the Word of God, because ultimately that needs to be your supreme authority in all matters of faith.
And if you'd like to follow up further, listeners, Mike's going to provide you a phone number, a website here as well as the DVD, Mike, that you're offering today, Prophecy and the Pope.
Yes, Prophecy and the Pope is a DVD message that covers a lot of what we talked about today and much more. Accompanied with the message is Prophecy Surrounding the Rapture. So you're getting two PowerPoint messages on one DVD at a 20% discount for all VCY listeners. And we also are including a publication entitled Rome Versus the Bible that is an excellent tool to show you how diametrically opposed the Bible is from Roman Catholicism, and it forces a Catholic to make a choice to trust Christ and His Word or the teachings of their religion. They cannot believe both. So the phone number to call is 817-379-5300, or you can visit our website at proclaimingthegospel.org, and you can order the DVD there, and we will automatically send out the free publication as well.
And certainly we appreciate you joining us here today, Mike, and sharing your burden and concern and for so many that are caught up in Roman Catholicism, and pointing the way to freedom in Jesus Christ by grace alone and Christ alone, and certainly by faith alone as well in His Word. It's by His Word alone. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Mike Gendron with us here today on Crosstalk, and we thank you for joining us. Again, just a reminder, if you'd like to obtain those resources through his website, proclaimingthegospel.org, or you may call him at 817-379-5300. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.